J1, number 16B.
Now we go on to the next idea which characterizes principle, and that is never pardons. And what we see here is that the laws of mind, or we can say the government of the one sevenfold principle, is always right. Therefore, it never has to repent of an error, and therefore it never has to pardon of an error that has been done. The only form of pardon, actually, to the human standpoint, is the correction of false beliefs, false laws, and false forms of government. So, we then go on to obedience as an idea which characterizes principle. And by a definition, obedience or obey means to comply with the commands, orders, instructions of a superior or with requirement of law, to do that which is commanded or required, to submit to the government of, to be ruled by, to submit to the direction or control of, to yield to the impulse, power, or operation of. If we are obedient to the government of this one divine sevenfold principle, then, you see, we become one with this sevenfold principle. We become one with the divine laws of government, and then this becomes our true identity. And as these laws and this government becomes our true identity, then the result is our natural demonstration of these laws or this type of government. But if we disobey or reject divine laws, then as we can see, this will lead only to disharmony, failure. And two, if we notice that there is any inharmony happening, either individually, collectively, or universally, we can be sure that somewhere there is a disobedience to principle. And again, as the age is such, it is such critical times that we're living in, that anywhere that there's inharmony, there's disobedience to principle. Absolutely. So in an inharmonious situation, always look to what is happening here. Where is somehow there being a disobedience to the principle? Now we go on to the idea of principle demonstrates itself. And then just briefly some definitions of demonstration or to demonstrate. To demonstrate means to show or prove to the mind or understanding, to prove by reasoning as by deduction. It means to prove beyond the possibility of doubt, to prove in such a manner as to reduce the contrary position to evident absurdity. Demonstration means an act or example of making known by visible means or by giving tangible evidence of something. Now, we see then that the sevenfold principle of our true identity and that sevenfold principle of true government, as we have on our illustrative material under those headings, true identity and harmonious government, this sevenfold principle demonstrates itself. Our identity principle and our government principle then demonstrates itself. As we've seen, it does not need anything else to help it along. And what happens is that it demonstrates itself and all false beliefs disappear as being evident absurdities. And principle demonstrates itself by itself. It proves itself to be true according to its own inherent laws. Therefore, it doesn't need anything outside of itself. It's absolute. It's complete in itself. And also we see in this connection with demonstration that then this principle, our identity principle and our principle of government is proven to be true beyond any possibility of doubt. And we say, now how does this principle prove itself to be true? And we say it proves itself to be true by giving tangible evidence or practical application of itself. And by doing this, by giving its tangible evidence, it proves the contrary position to be false, an effect of misunderstanding. So the fact is that a principle that cannot be practically demonstrated or proven to be true by tangible evidence is not a real principle, is not a fundamental truth. So the fact is that by our understanding mind, spirit, soul, our identity principle, our government principle, this demonstrates life, truth, and love. Life, truth, and love is the practical demonstration. Life, truth, and love is the tangible evidence, you see, of principle. That's the evidence principle gives. So if we understand our true identity as mind, spirit, and soul, and if we are obedient to this identity principle, this government principle, then we demonstrate this tangible evidence. We demonstrate life, or true individuality, multiplication, abundance, supply, newness, spontaneity, self-existence, ever-presence, eternality, isness, everlasting newness, permanency, deathlessness, you see. Or we demonstrate as tangible evidence truth, or actuality, or truthfulness, or trust, or divine consciousness, or health, wholeness, true form, new revelations, self-expression. Or we demonstrate this tangible evidence of love, perfection, completeness, highest excellence, self-fulfillment, inseparable union, oneness, loveliness, protection, holiness, peace, plan. This is all the tangible evidence of the truth or correctness of our identity principle. So we go on and say, well, principle proves itself. Another idea which characterizes principle. Now, prove, the meaning of prove means to demonstrate to be true, to test or verify as to the correctness of an operation or result. It means to establish the truth or reality by reasoning, induction, or evidence. So again, just to prove then means to verify our identity principle, and it is a verified again. Our identity principle and government principle by the one life, by eternal life over death, by abundance over lack. It's demonstrated by divine consciousness over human consciousness, by perfection, love over imperfection. And what we see there is that even though life, truth, and love is the tangible evidence, we say, well, gee, you know, I can't quite feel that there's eternal life. I still see death. I can't quite see that there's abundance. I still see lack. I can't quite see about truth or divine consciousness. There still seems to be the effect of human consciousness. Or how about love and perfection? What about all the imperfection? What we have to see in science is this. First, one must have the inner spiritual evidence. It always comes first. The inner certainty that the principle is true. We must first cultivate the inner certainty of this principle, and we then will see the outward proof. We will see the proof. It's happening right now. By reading the signs of the times, the proof is in the world. We can see the proof. But we first have the inner spiritual evidence, and then we see the outward proof. Now, all sorts of isms and ologies in the world today provide apparent proofs of their principles or theory. We have spiritualism, psychology, hypnotism, and so forth. So, we say now, what is the only way that we can determine if a proof, experience, or phenomenon is real or unreal? And the only way we can determine whether a proof is real or unreal is by asking what is the theory behind the proof. Are the theories based on unreality, misunderstanding, or mortal mind, matter, and body? Or are the theories based on reality, or understanding, or mind, spirit, and soul? So we turn to our illustrative material entitled Theory and Proof. Now, spiritualism provides proofs of its theories. and its proofs are spirits, communication with the dead, automatic writing, and so forth. Now we say, is this proof of reality or is it of unreality? Now this is a big question today about spirits and spiritualism. Is it true? Are those proofs real? Carl Jung, the depth psychologist, said that hallucinatory visions, voices, and automatic writings, and so forth, all spring from the person's own unconscious mind. That a person has just built up a second unconscious personality, which is released under certain conditions. A Carlos Castaneda, the author of The Teaching of Don Juan and other books, has had many experiences. Now, just one experience that he had was that he experienced being a crow. He sprouted feathers and he flew off into the sunset. Now, this experience is an experience of the collective unconscious world of mortal mind. Castaneda's local circumstance and peyote drug provided the opportunity for him to experience mythical fantasy. And this mythical fantasy was within his own collective unconscious mind. Again, turn to the illustrative material that you have before you on understanding and demonstration. This illustrative material on understanding and demonstration just is a more detailed version of this theory and proof. The only way that we can tell if an experience or so-called proof is real or unreal, as we have said, is find out the theory behind the proof. So if the theory is based on mortal mind, false beliefs, misunderstanding, mythology, then the proof is what we say unreal or illusionistic. We can always know mortal mind's proof or phenomena because it's always of the essence of death, time and space. It's always of the essence of sickness, the human consciousness, subconscious, unconscious, spiritualism, mythology, or the essence of fear, hate, or imperfection. But if a theory is based on the divine mind or understanding, then we say the proof is real or of reality. We can always know the divine mind's proof and phenomena because it's always of the essence of life, eternality or isness, truth, health, divine consciousness, which is free of mythology, and love, nature. So especially with these experiences that people have when they go on drugs, you'll notice that they're always talking about nature, somehow the correlation of themselves as birds, trees, animals. This is all going into mythology, in past mythology. And therefore that is always based on the theory of mortal mind, which is a misunderstanding of reality. Now, we go on then with our ideas, which characterize principle, and we come to ever-operative. Now we see that our sevenfold identity principle, our sevenfold government principle is ever operative. It's always at work bringing out the divine purpose of life, truth, and love. Now to operate means to act, to exert power or strength, to function effectively. Operation means a process or series of acts performed to effect a certain purpose or result. That's operation. Now, hear this in function. Function means assigned duty or activity. Functional means capable of performing, operative. Now, to see the difference between something that can function and its in operation. To take an example, we have motor. A motor may run or function, meaning it has its assigned duty, which it's capable of performing. It can function. But a motor doesn't operate until it is in a car and going somewhere. So a motor may function properly, but it operates to fulfill a definite purpose. So we see then, with the symbols mind, spirit, and soul, that ideas function together in an infinite calculus freely and joyfully. But we ask, For what purpose do these ideas function together? Here we're asking after the operational sense. And Principle Life, Truth, and says Love says that these ideas are ever operative, meaning that they are operating in order to demonstrate life, truth, and love, the divine purpose. Now we go on to interpret itself. What does it mean that principle interprets itself? And to interpret means to explain the meaning of words to a person who does not understand them. Or interpret means to clarify the meaning of, to elucidate, to expound the significance of, to represent the meaning of through art, to translate. Now, if we consider being a reality to be a what we would call a chaotic enigma, then this being must be interpreted or explained to us in order that it becomes clear and understandable. But what we must see that the correct interpretation of being can only be from the standpoint of principle itself. Mrs. Eddy said in Science and Health that the divine principle of the universe must interpret the universe. Therefore, being or the universe cannot be interpreted at all from the human system of reference. And we see that this divine sevenfold principle interprets itself only through its own divine science, through its own divine systems of laws. Therefore, this divine principle can be taught and learned. Then we come to the last idea which characterizes principle. And this is one that is dear to our hearts today because I think we're going to be able to see this more and more in the world. It really is big. And that is that principle, the sevenfold principle of our true identity in government, is the principle of all sciences. Now we know that science just means to accumulate and accumulated and accepted knowledge which has been systematized and formulated with reference to the discovery of general truths or the operation of general laws. Science means an exact and systematic statement or classification of knowledge. Science is knowledge reduced to law and embodied in system. So what we see is that this sevenfold principle, as symbolized by mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love, is a scientific principle, a principle which has within itself law, order, rule, system, method, form, and plan. And since there is only one divine principle, there is only one divine principle, which is the principle of all sciences. Now, as we've read before, we want to read it together, the statement by Mrs. Eddy, as it is applicable to this particular point. Mrs. Eddy states in Miscellany, what are termed in common speech the principle of harmonious vibrations, principle of conservation of number in geometry, principle of the inclined plane in mechanics, etc., are but an effect of one universal cause, an emanation of the one divine intelligent principle that holds the earth in its orbit by evolved spiritual power, that commands the waves and the winds, that marks the sparrow's fall, and that governs all from the infinitesimal to the infinite, namely God. What she is showing as it is that the one divine principle, the one sevenfold principle, is the principle of harmonious vibrations, is the principle of conservation in numbers and geometry, is the principle of the inclined plane in mechanics, is the principle of true government, is the principle of true psychology, true identity, is the principle of true economics. The one divine principle is a one divine science, which is the science of all sciences. It includes all sciences. So this one divine principle or one divine science is the science of true government, the science of true psychology, the science of true economics, the science of true medicine and healing, the science of physical harmony, the science of true theology, the science of art and music, the science of life, the science of creation, the science of the Bible, the science of God, the science of Christ, the science of Christianity, the science of all sciences. Now, Mrs. Eddy, in the late 1800s and early 1900s, knew that the one divine principle was the principle of all sciences. Today, as students of Christian Science, or we should say the science of Christian Science, we understand this too, that the one divine principle is the only one divine science. Therefore, the only one system of divine laws which are applicable to all the sciences. All the sciences are in reality governed by the same divine laws. And in the world today, various scientists are searching for the basic laws which are valid for all sciences in general. Today we have the search for these basic laws. Somehow they feel that there is only one principle, basic laws which are fundamental to all the sciences. An example of this, there are many, is just Ludwig von Bertalanffy, who is a biologist, who has written the book General System Theory. And he is looking for those basic principles which are valid for systems in general. And I'd like to quote from Bertalanffy in detail here and read excerpts from his book. He says that his major aim is to state those unifying principles which are running vertically through both the non-physical fields and the physical fields. He states that there are many instances where identical principles were discovered several times because the workers in one field were unaware that the theoretical structure required was already developed in some other field. He says that general systems theory, therefore, is a general science of wholeness, which up till now was considered a vague, hazy, and semi-metaphysical concept. In elaborate form, it would be a logical and mathematical discipline, in itself purely formal, but applicable to the various empirical sciences. He says this indicates the major aim of general systems theory. One, there is a general tendency towards integration in the various sciences, natural and social. Two, such integration seems to be centered in a general theory of systems. Three, such theory may be an important means for aiming at exact theory in non-physical fields of science. Four, developing unifying principles running vertically through the universe of the individual science. This theory brings us nearer to the goal of the unity of science. Five, this can lead to a much needed integration in scientific education. What we see here is that Bertalanffy and others search for the one principle, the one science, the one system of laws which are applicable to all the other sciences. And by doing this, they are giving up their belief that there are many principles, many laws which are conflicting with each other. However, what's important for these scientists to see is this, and Mrs. Eddy states it in Science and Health, that the term science, properly understood, refers only to the laws of God and to his government of the universe, inclusive of man. Therefore, those laws which the scientists are looking for, they may think are going to be material laws which are going to tie all the sciences together, but they aren't. They won't be material laws. The laws which are going to tie all the sciences together are the laws of God. Those laws are running vertically through all the sciences. Now, as we just have seen then, that the laws of the seven synonymous terms, the laws of the fourfold operation of being, the horizontal and vertical laws of the four levels of spiritual consciousness, our various matrix laws symbolize the laws of God. And so then in the chart, the super symbol of these laws, which shows the laws of isness, the laws of self-organization, the laws of spontaneity, the law of divine causality, etc., all these laws as symbolized by the chart are those laws which are applicable to all the sciences. So in the world today, if we were keen, we would be able to see that the many other sciences are just manifestations of the one science. However, this does not mean that the various world sciences are now totally transparent or pure manifestations of this one science. And we say, why? Well, it's because the various scientists are still interpreting the science of economics, the science of psychology, the science of medicine from a material standpoint. But as we have seen together many times, that it's becoming more and more apparent to the various scientists and philosophers that the premise of materialism is incorrect. And what we must see, and this is very important, is that pure natural science is not incorrect. Mrs. Eddy says in Science and Health, in one sense, God is identical with nature. But this nature is spiritual and is not expressed in matter. All it is, we can see, is that it was only a misunderstanding. It was a misunderstanding that has made pure natural science into a material natural science. But there is a real science of nature. This doesn't say nature is incorrect and wrong. It's saying what is the true science of nature interpreted from a spiritual basis and not from a material basis. Therefore, we don't get rid of the science of nature. We interpret it correctly. We say, what is the science of medicine? We don't throw away the science of medicine. We say, what is the true science of medicine and healing? We don't throw away theology. What is the true science of theology? We don't throw away government. What is the true science of government? You see, what we are after in the world is the truth behind all the sciences. These are true sciences, but they have been misinterpreted from a false premise, materialism. Let's now interpret these sciences from a true premise, from a spiritual premise, and then we will see that these sciences are just manifestations of the one science. Therefore, principle is the science of all sciences.